You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/savagepremium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive-time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm, from 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/savagepremium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Michael Savage team meeting. This has become, maybe it'll become our regular bonus podcast, but this is a behind-the-scenes look at how podcasts are put together. And today, we're going to talk about what's coming up tomorrow. By the time you folks hear this behind-the-scenes look, this podcast with Rebecca Koffler will have been posted. It's called The 8 Reasons Putin May Not Be Bluffing About Nuclear Weapons. And you left something out. And why this wouldn't have happened if Trump were president. That's a critical part of this interview. Rebecca Koffler wrote Putin's playbook. She is a Russian-born U.S. intelligence expert who served as a Russian doctrine and strategy specialist in the Defense Intelligence Agency. She's worked with the DIA and the CIA's National Clandestine Service. Uh-oh, better be nice to her. And she has led red teams during war games and advised senior Pentagon officials. I hope she likes me. Of course, we never met, and I hope I never meet her. Ms. Koffler, because it may be the last person I meet on the earth, I'm joking, I don't. She doesn't mince words, and she dives into the psyche of Mr. Putin explaining why we should not dismiss his threats as idle threats. And then Ms. Koffler outlines the measures Trump put in place that would have prevented this invasion of Ukraine if Trump were still president. So we recorded this last Thursday. Ryan was here in the studio as we recorded. Ryan, what's the process after that? What do you do after I record an interview?
We just get it uploaded for Mr. Douglas and
where
Karen.
Where do we put it?
We upload it into the Dropbox, and then we all have access to it to listen to do our edits. And, you know, Doug, Karen, and I all discuss what we believe should be left in. Maybe, you know, if we should take something out, or you know, what needs to be edited. And then after that,
Doug, you did the previous edit, the early edits, correct?
Correct.
Doug is the best sound editor in the business of sound. He's worked with me for how many, 17 years, radio days?
Counting radio, 20 years.
Oh, my God. And you're still quitting on me. Okay, never
mind. I got the gray hair to prove it.
But we argue all the time anyway, but I love Doug. Doug has been a rock solid part of this thing called the Savage Radio Show and the Savage Podcast. He has the greatest ear. What do you do when you edit the raw footage, Doug?
It really depends on the interview. Most of the time, take out, you know, background noise, stumbles.
I don't
repeats,
stumble.
Things
I
like that.
I don't stumble, but okay.
Both sides, the guest as well.
So if there's a clearing of a throat or something like that.
Correct.
And what happens next?
Well, once I make the initial edits, I upload it to our Dropbox so everybody else can listen to it and give me their ideas, you know, where it should be cut, things to be, you know, moved around, taken out, things like that. Then they get back to me on what else needs to be done.
You know, sometimes we add sound bites, sound effects, because I come from a radio background. I like sound effects. What sound effects, Ryan, Karen, Doug, would you add to this podcast, if any?
Me personally, I don't think anything should be added. Sound effects are there to accentuate points. And with this interview, it's very straightforward. Sound effects, in my opinion, would take away from it.
You think sound effects would take away from it?
Correct, because it tends, for the listener, sound effects tend to take the focus away from what's being said, and they focus on the sound bite itself. Mm-hmm. So if the sound bite's not going to enhance what they're saying, it takes away, and that's not what we want.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't want to do any more work.
I think it's helpful when there's a specific quote that's mentioned. Recently in a podcast, we had mentioned specifically about Henry Kissinger, his comments. Doug added that. I don't recall anything in here with Koffler, any specific quotes, but I know we typically try to do that. That if there's something that maybe somebody missed that you reference or the guest references, as Doug said, it enhances the conversation.
Well, I challenged Ms. Koffler when I said during our previous interview, Ms. Koffler, you predicted Putin would stop in May, the victory day for Russia, the anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany. He did not. And I said, why do you think your prediction was not correct? Do you recall what her answer was? Does anyone remember what she said this time? What's in the podcast?
She said that she didn't take into account that basically we would be supplying Ukraine with weapons and technology.
Yes.
So it's I said something intriguing, I think, to me intriguing, that could be seen as a really wild card in all of this. Why is the West fueling this war instead of trying to diplomatically stop this war? So it was a gloomy Sunday, and I did a YouTube piece on Christophobia and what it means. I said, I find it very strange that the Russians are a Russian Orthodox people. The Ukrainians are Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, correct? Same, right, Karen?
Yeah.
They basically follow this. Don't they follow the same church?
I would say it's very, very similar. Yeah.
I said, is it possible that the West, which is ruled by demonic atheists who hate religion, are fueling this war so Christians kill Christians? I know it sounds like a crazy idea, but is it so crazy when you consider who's behind this administration and what they are doing to our school children, what they are doing to our borders, language, and culture? Is it so far-fetched to believe that this government under the senile Biden would actually be fueling the war to deplete Russia of its weaponry and to have both sides lose more white Christian men? I know it's so shocking for me to even think it that I dare think it. Any opinion? Karen, is it crazy? You be the judge.
I mean, in this day and age, is anything off the table? Is and last time I checked, we're still have the freedom to ask those questions.
Correct? Ah, I didn't check recently. I didn't check my inbox. But why is there no diplomacy? People are depressed. People are frightened. People are fearing a disease and death. We have a nuclear cloud hanging over us again. I haven't had this since I was a child, when we used to have to do duck and cover under the desks in the 50s in New York. We're back to that again under this administration. This could have been avoided. It could still be stopped tomorrow. Not once has Biden tried to speak to Putin. So although you can see this as a crazy idea, if you follow ABC News, it's a crazy idea. But if you're a free thinker, it's not so crazy.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
We also learned in this podcast 8 reasons why Putin may not be bluffing about using nuclear weapons and why Trump would have prevented this war. I asked Ms. Koffler about the actual nuclear weapons that he has. And she said Putin likely believes that he will use nuclear weapons for the same reason the U.S. did in Japan during World War II to end the conflict. She reminded us that in 1945, the U.S. detonated 2 atomic bombs, Little Boy and Fat Man, over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where our country, killed 150 to 225,000 Japanese citizens. The rationale at the time was to hasten victory, to minimize both U.S. and Japanese casualties. But neither Japanese city became uninhabitable, and both returned to functional levels about a year after the bombs were dropped. They believe Putin learned from that. And I learned then the bombs dropped on Japan were between 15 to 21 kilotons, while the warheads that Putin currently has are said to be about 1 kiloton, which is much smaller than the 15 to 21 kiloton bombs dropped on Japan. And she said Putin likely theorizes that these weapons are usable on a battlefield. I was shocked to hear that, but I would say it's rational. What do you think, guys?
Very much so. The low-yield tactical nukes, it doesn't have the permanent effects that the larger weapons do.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's a pretty prominent physicist. He was on with Bill Maher just, I guess, this past weekend, and he was talking about how they're not, I guess in the media, people are just saying nuclear, nuclear, nuclear. And he was describing the difference between the tactical nukes and, as you said, what people are familiar with, which is Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So he was explaining. So people, I think, believe that he was diminishing the fact that Putin has these nuclear arms. But nuclear is nuclear.
What do you mean? This physicist said these nuclear weapons don't matter?
He didn't say that, but he was just making he distinguished between these and what was used in World War II.
Well, right. We just talked about that with Rebecca Koffler.
Yeah.
So Putin is also worried about projecting weakness to China, Ms. Koffler told us, which is very obvious. He's a strong man. Our president likes to project stupidity, weakness, and all around idiocy at every turn, except to American patriots who he considers the greatest threat to America, which is very intriguing to me. The greatest threat to America is not China, not Russia, not Iran, but it's white supremacists, whoever they may be. Were there three of them somewhere in the hills of Montana? Although Putin and President Xi have formed an anti-U.S. strategic partnership, we learn Russia views China as a long-term security threat. Putin may calculate that launching a nuclear strike in Ukraine will demonstrate Russia's strength and resolve to Xi. Russia views its conflict with Ukraine as existential to the core. Another reason Putin could see nukes as a morally acceptable option. We don't see the war in Ukraine as existential. It does not threaten our existence. It does threaten the existence of Ukraine for sure and Russia. So Putin also relies, we learned, on the sentiment prevailing in the West that nuclear warfare is unthinkable. Well, she says the Russian strongman may be miscalculating. He has less than ever to lose, believing he and Russia face an existential threat. He may be completely serious when he says this is not a bluff. Okay, so that's the Tuesday podcast, which by the time this is heard, the listeners, some of them will have heard the podcast because it's going up tomorrow while this is going up on Wednesday of this week. This is our strategy session on Monday. Ryan and I just came from my boat where we talked to four mechanics with some repair, doing some work on my boat. No, it's all wonderful. What's coming up later in the week on the Michael Savage podcast? What do we have planned for Friday?
We're waiting to hear back from Gordon Chang to talk about Xi Jinping.
But he's going to come on tomorrow?
I haven't heard back from him yet.
Okay.
I did talk to them on the phone, but we're just waiting to figure,
Well, here's what we're going to do for Friday. Brian and I discussed it this morning. Yesterday, it was a gloomy Sunday, and I did a long 28 or 38 minute YouTube piece called Christophobia and Trumpophobia, what they really mean. How long is it, Ryan? We put it up and took it back down.
It's about 38 minutes.
38 minutes of, but it has much more in it than Christophobia and Trumpophobia. I went into an awful lot in one of my long speeches yesterday on a gloomy Sunday because I needed to reach my audience. We're going to run that on Friday along with all the jobs I've had in no particular order. That's me, Michael Savage, comic book salesman, floor sweeper, statue cleaner, mortuary assistant, teacher, social worker, science consultant, dishwasher, busboy, book editor, clothing store salesman, ice cream factory line worker, postman, chauffeur, butcher boy, real estate salesman in the Bahamas, Alzheimer's research scientist, plant collector, talk radio host, author, and national science consultant. Those are most of the jobs I've had in my life. Each one of them, the minute I say them, brings a story to mind. Like if I say comic book salesman, I'm going to talk about what it was like selling comic books at age 5 in the streets of New York. If I say, you're laughing because it is kind of funny.
Today they would give you a citation.
Oh, they'd arrest me for being a white supremacist and I didn't have a license to sell used comics, right?
They'd call an
NYPD tactical squad to arrest this little boy for selling comic books in the street because I'm not an illegal alien or a bum. That's going to be one of my jobs. I think that's going to be a fun podcast. That may only be 15 to 20 minutes long. And we thought of combining that with whatever we do for Friday. It would be all the jobs I've had in no particular order, plus Gordon Chang on who is President Xi or something, Chairman Xi or whatever, in one. And we may combine them, or if this all the jobs I've had is a good long one, we'll use it for next week.
We also had a comment from a listener that we want to work on the 25 things you would do if you were president.
Oh, yes. How did I forget that? because I kept saying during my YouTube thing, if I were president, the first thing I would do, I'd go borders, language, culture, and organize it around those principles. First thing I would do is deport the 5 million illegals that Biden brought in. Then I would deport the lawyers who are representing them, who are screaming it's illegal, it's unconstitutional. These are the people who break the law and spit on the Constitution every other day. I would put them on the same deportation planes to go with them because they want to give them the care that they need in Guatemala and Kazakhstan. Deportation, deportation, deportation. And then I would, you say language and culture? What would I do as president to make sure that our English language becomes the language of the land? Simple. I do an executive order that ballots cannot be printed in any language but English. Very simple. Doesn't take a rocket scientist or an Einstein to understand why. My grandfather was an immigrant. He spoke no English. How could he vote if he doesn't know what the hell he's voting for? Of course they don't know what they're voting for. Well, they told us to hit the D. Okay, language, English only on our ballots, English only on all of our public communications from any governmental agency, state, local, or federal. No bilingualism. If you're not willing to learn our language, then don't vote in this country. Language, culture. Nobody's going to teach my children the perversion that they're teaching. If they do, they're punishable by 20 years in prison. It's child abuse. That's just the starter of what I would do if I were president. That might be a nice podcast. That's what they really want to hear because it makes sense. And I see even Ryan's nodding his head. Yes. He's finally tuned in instead of looking at his iPhone. I'm joking. Guys, anything else? That's a good one. 25 things I would do if I were president. Don't let me forget that one. Let's not give away too many ideas here. What else did I say I would be doing in the near future? We don't have to go much further than this.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
You know what I wanted to do one day? I wanted to go and look at all the podcasts I've done over the last year by title and just run down how much we have done this year together. Actually, over the last year, 2 years, almost 2 years now.
That's a good end of the year episode, I think.
It's astounding when I look at the titles. Each one is a Persian miniature. They're beautiful. And I mean, likewise, we could do the same with the YouTube pieces. Biden gropes young girl. I explain hubris, nemesis, catharsis. The freak show of the Biden team. Crime and non-punishment. Build more prisons. Lamentations of a lapsed Jew, one God, Biden's brain is gone. It will soon be replaced. That's got the most hits, by the way, of all of them. Savage sounds off, cops kill man after he points gun at them. God in the time. I did a lot of God stuff in the last month. There are no atheists in an ER room to steal a vote and stuff the bloat. Air Force tells cadets to not use mom and dad. I did a cooking video, fine meat sauce with Bucatini, which I can't talk about. But there's some really amazingly good titles. Dissent is patriotic. You know, I was watching a documentary, I'm going to end soon, on Joseph Stalin, the dictator who killed millions in Russia. And I read he ruled by terror. Chairman Mao ruled by terror. Mussolini ruled by terror. Are we not living in a country where we're all terrified of what we say may be used against us by spies who are listening to us? This is not the beginning. We're past the crawling stage of terror state under this left-wing administration. We're past the infancy. We're in the early childhood of an outright dictatorship. Would you agree or disagree? Doug, I see you nodding.
I have a little personal history with this. When
working for
before
me
before the Korean War started, the communists came into my mom's village.
Where?
And up in Korea. She lived right outside Pyongyang.
I should say Doug's mom comes from North Korea, correct?
Right, before it was North.
It was just Korea.
It was just Korea.
Must have been cold up there.
The Chinese marched in and said, join the party. And for everybody that said no, they lined them up and shot them.
Oh, my God.
They basically murdered all the male members of her family.
Oh, right, my God.
So, yeah, I've got pretty strong feelings against this.
Now,
so there was no choice. Join the party or we'll kill you. Or they didn't even say or we'll kill you.
No, they just said join the party. And
those who didn't
even thought
shot.
About it.
They didn't even give them an option. It wasn't like join or get shot. It's just, hey, join. Well, that sounds like Pelosi, San Francisco, in one way. Meaning they don't shoot you, but they excommunicate you like you don't exist, right?
Yeah. It may be coming, but I hate to think that way. But it seems like every year gets worse and worse.
I want Doug's mom to come on the show.
Would she?
I would love to have you talk to her.
Doug, would she?
No.
Would she give a testament?
No,
she's shy, right? Anyway, we don't want to pressure your poor mom. But Doug grew up hearing these stories. If I remember correctly, Doug's mother, bless her, walked out of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she not walk to South Korea in blizzards and stuff?
Yeah, I don't want to speak for him, but I think they walked over the mountain, Doug, right? They like that night, they fled the country.
Correct.
What did they do, Doug? You want to tell us briefly?
Literally, they after they shot her relatives, her uncles, her cousins, they said, tomorrow we take your land. And so that night, if they wanted to live, the entire village left with the clothes on their back.
Oh, my God. What percentage survived that marched to South Korea?
From her village... Yeah, she said that she walked with like 300 people and probably half of them died.
Oh. They walked with the clothing on their back in the wintertime?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. With the children, the babies, everything else? Why?
Yeah, that's some of the memories she has.
I don't understand why this story is not told more often, Doug. Does anyone even know this story?
There's some people who have talked about it, but very few people have survived. I mean, my mom's 80 plus and not doing well.
But Doug, this is a story like we hear about the forced removal of the Cherokee by the U.S. cavalry. A horrible story, the Trail of Tears. We hear about the Holocaust. Horrible story. Stories. We hear about Stalin's purges. Horrible stories. We hear about Pol Pot. Horrible stories. But we never hear about the North Koreans who suffered and died under communism. I've never heard the story. It's only because I know you. I would suggest.
Well, there's also, I mean, it happens through the Koreans, through history, through China, through Japan, that they've always been a long-suffering people.
I would like to get an expert on this subject. You think Gordon Chang can do this? Why don't we look for an expert for a future podcast on the North Korean Holocaust by communist Chinese? How's that? That would be some disclosure that we could do, right? Doug, I bet you could find an expert. There's got to be someone at some university somewhere who knows this story.
I'll look.
It's a horrible story that needs to be told. Karen looks very unhappy and sad. Her mind just imagined the whole story. I just saw. I'm sorry to bum everyone out.
Yeah, no, to be honest with you, I remember watching a documentary years ago, but really, I think we all just know the narrative that North Korea is this oppressive government, but I don't think a lot of people know how it became that way.
That's what I'm saying. We all know that it's a dictatorship run by a madman. Okay,
yes.
We know that. But do we know about the people who escaped or those who were left behind when the communist Chinese turned it into a puppet state? We don't. We don't. And now that Xi is exerting his full-blown power madness again in the current times that we live in, I think we all forget that North Korea was once not a communist, was once not a communist nation above the 38th parallel. And we forgot the men who died making sure there was a South Korea. Boy, oh boy, what a story that is. We keep hearing about China's going to take Taiwan. Have they said anything about South Korea recently? That's a great topic for Gordon. We should throw that into the question mix, right?
Yeah.
Doug, the people are the same, aren't they? Ethnically, religiously, North and South before communism.
Yeah, they were before communism. Since then, they've split. The South Koreans, you know, it's like America. They have a different dialect.
They do. It evolved.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, going to stores with my mom, they call her a Northy.
Northy. It sounds like the Mexicans, Norteños.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're tough people. Everyone knows the Koreans are very tough people. I was told years ago that the ROK troops, the Republic of Korea troops, are some of the absolute toughest in the whole world. Whether it's still true 10 years after television and Hyundais and pornography, I don't know.
My best friend's dad was in Vietnam. And as soon as he found out I was Korean, we were best friends. He served with the ROKs in Vietnam.
That's another story I'd like to get into another day, if someone could take notes. The Korea story, the ROK troops, Republic of Korea, for those who are listening to this podcast, ROK troops. We'd like to know more about them. The Korean War has been pretty much well discussed. But again, one last note. Xi is threatening to take Taiwan when he wants. He basically said that the other day. Why doesn't he mention South Korea? That's interesting.
I think that's a good question for Gordon. I think
why is that a hands-off discussion?
Yeah.
Is he afraid of them? Is South Korea a nuclear power, Doug? Is it known to be a...
They do have some nukes, but there's so many U.S. bases in Korea still.
Ah, yeah, but there's U.S. protections in Taiwan as well.
We're friendly with Taiwan. We are allied with South Korea.
Oh, so it's like our CETO, South Atlantic Treaty Organization. So Korea really is protected by the U.S. with bases. Taiwan is not. Is that correct?
Yes.
There's no bases in. I didn't even know that. We have
Taiwan was under British rule. So
you know, that explains everything.
Friendly, but not part of us.
Too much tea and crumpets. I get it. Too much princely charm. Well, we've touched on some other, some really good stuff. Are there any orders of business for the week on the Michael Savage podcast? Right. I just want everyone listening to this to know how far, what a big family you are a member of. If you're listening to this podcast today, you're part of a very large family of listeners. And I work in isolation. I only meet these good people by Skype, except Ryan, who we work together in person 5 days a week, unfortunately for him. The other two never have to see me. They see me only on a screen a few times a week or by screaming emails. But, you know, I run into people, and the first question, they say, oh, we used to listen to you on the radio. We loved you. So I get very tense because the first thing I say is, you know, I'm still working. They said, no, we love your podcast. I said, oh, thank God, because I'm always afraid my radio audience doesn't know where I am. By now, most of them do. And I mentioned I went into a Barnes & Noble the other day to buy my magazines for a rainy day, my car magazines, military magazines, boat magazines. And the clerk was an older white guy who looked at me and said, oh, you're famous, aren't you? I said, not really. I'm Michael Savage. He said, oh, yeah. He said, when I first heard you, I hated you on the radio. He said, but as I've gotten older and I see what's happened to this country, you were right about everything you said. I was shocked. This was from a book clerk who are normally leftists in this country, just the way they are. They have slowly awakened to what the hell is happening right in front of their eyes. I guess when you work in a bookstore and you see the people outside wanting to break your windows, or you see bums coming in and stealing magazines or books, and you can't even arrest them, maybe that's the wake-up message. So those of you who are listening to this bonus podcast, just know you're not alone. This is Michael Savage signing off and thanking you for listening. I suggest you share this with five others. Bye now.
All right, now you can yell at us. Now,
Ryan, leave that in. Leave the afterburner in.
Oh, we have to.
You have to leave that out. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.